the P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S. It's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S. It's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what? What's up, Fudge Packers? Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. It's our 1 year anniversary. Happy birthday to the Pure Boys. I was going to put together a new theme song for this episode, and then I didn't, because I'm Adam, and also urine.
Happy New Year, everybody. What a year it has been. I disavow normal New Year's Day now, and now I will know this day to be New Year's Day.
And these truths that we hold evident are that on this day is now the start of the new, the instead of the, throw out your Gregorian calendars, it's the Pure Boys calendar. That's good, right?
Yeah, PBP calendar, AD, of course.
Of course.
I'm Steve.
Are you also urine?
I am urine. I have really taken on the task lately of becoming urine.
Do tell.
Well, I've been drinking a lot of oranges, and that's the first step.
More oranges.
Yeah, the carotene in you. Next step is obviously carrots, and then sweet potatoes, and then I will be filled with pee.
Oh, yeah, this guy is just, he's fully Arnold from the Magic School Bus. He is, he's as orange as his eyes are yellow.
Can you make yourself an orange?
Sure, why not? Yeah, of course you can. You can make yourself whatever you want.
Well, I guess. I'm talking about hair-wise, you know? I really want to embody the orange man inside of me.
Man, I feel like I'm in a fever dream right now. I was with you when you asked, can you make yourself an orange? I was like, of course, I'm on board with this. And then you said, hair-wise, and I went, what?
Say what?
Hey, man, happy birthday anniversary to you.
Happy birthday, CBC News to you.
No, HBC, the Haiti Broadcast Corporation.
Yes, HBC.
HBCD's nuts. Hey, bringing it full circle.
I don't know what happened to my phone. That's very unprofessional of me, and I apologize 10 lashes towards myself.
I don't know what you're talking about. If your phone made a noise, we did not hear it on the mic, so feel free to abuse
I'm
yourself
sorry
anyway.
You heard that on the mic, and I will be forever shamed.
Please abuse yourself as much as you see fit, but also don't feel like you have to, but also feel like you have to.
And as long as you're fit.
Of course. And you're in. This week, on our 1 year anniversary Pure Boys Spectacular, we're going back to where it all started. We've been watching nothing but PureFlix classics, and also cowgirl movies, and also Madea movies for the last 365 days. But now, we got to take it right back to where we all started by checking in with Alex Kendrick and the Kendrick Brothers to watch their 2011 classic, Courageous.
I can't believe what 2011 must have been like for these guys. I mean, they're riding high off of hit after hit after hit, funded by God himself. And now it's time to make a movie about courage.
Finally, someone had the courage to make a movie about courage and a movie about God. And you just don't see that kind of thing these days, especially in 2011. Although, I do remember this movie like being in theaters and stuff like that and mocking it at the time because I was a little heathen back then.
It was in theaters, you don't say.
Oh, yeah. All the, like, this movie, Overcomer, I remember playing at our local cinema here in Haiti. And, yeah, all kinds of stuff. Now, granted, I don't think Flywheel played in many theaters. I didn't see Facing the Giants or Fireproof in theaters, so I can't say for sure, but definitely Courageous was in theaters, so good for them.
Great for them. And Flywheel was just too ahead of its time. That's when they were young, dumb, full of erm, and just wanted to put the truth of God on film.
And, like, the truth of being a good used car salesman. And I think that's so few movie or filmmakers don't have the courage to make a film about used car salesmen, other than the movie Used Cars from the 80s.
See, what these Kendrick brothers do is take a look at society and see what's broken. And for them, the first thing they really wanted to tackle is the honor of a used car salesman.
Of course. And then after they completely sewed that up perfectly, made everyone show used car salesmen the respect they deserved, next they moved on to the next lowest, you know, member of society, high school football coaches. And then from there they went, well, who's the next pathetic person on the ladder? Firemen. And then from there they were like, who is the dregs of society? Police officers. And so we're just working our way down the ladder of shame, getting these people the respect they deserve.
Whomst do you think is next?
You know, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Probably like a traveling ice cream salesman or something.
Yeah, or in the same vein, kind of like POTUS.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. That would be a bold move for them to make. I would love if the Kendrick brothers made like a presidential movie. That would be wild. We haven't seen them take that big of a swing yet, but maybe geopolitics is their next playground.
Well, it's definitely going to be either ice cream salesman or president of the United States of these American states.
Of course. Those are the two most equally pathetic groups of people in the world. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But before we see what happens to make us respect police officers again, we need to do the Pure Boys Prayer.
God bless.
Put your hands together. Put your hands together and pray with me.
This is new.
God bless our podcast.
God bless all podcasts.
We love you. Amen.
Amen. We don't say amen enough.
No, you're right about that. We should end the Pure Boys Prayer after we say we love you with an amen. Hey, new year, new P. All right, so we end the prayer with amen from now on. What a bold choice that is.
Thank God. I can't believe we almost let another year go by with that slipping.
For sure. I mean, I guess technically our prayers have never ended because we've never said amen at the end of them. So this is capping off the first year of Pure Boys Prayers. And now with that amen, God has finally heard our prayers. And this year that we're going into will be our most successful year yet.
Yeah, it's all pinned together quite nicely now. Mm-hmm. We're on a roll. The devil is gone and God is here to stay.
Hey, amen to that, brother. Real quick, I just want to be sincere for a second. We are starting a new year. It's very exciting. New year, new P. But I realized last episode we didn't thank like the listeners for tuning into the show and being fans of the show. So I just want to take right up at the top here before we get into all the goof-em-ups. Just wanted to say sincerely from the bottom of Adam and Steve's fart, thank you so much, everyone who's listened to this show. We do really appreciate all of you and all of your emails and comments and just the love and the reviews, all that stuff. Y'all are awesome, and we couldn't do it without you. So we love you. Thank you. We love you. Amen.
And because you've been so good and have been sitting on your hands all year, I want to give you this tip that'll save your lives. Drink as much apple cider vinegar as you can in 30 seconds every day. It'll change your frickin' life.
All right, well, there you go. And with that piece of just valuable information out of the way, I got a question for you, Steve. And it's maybe the most important question I've ever asked you. Whomst was the Bagger Vance of Holy Man Undercover?
It's really even tough to ponder this question because there were so many Bagger Vances throughout the movie. You got, I mean, was Reggie there?
No, he wasn't. Big swing and a miss.
Well then, for all those other little Bagger Vances, they got crushed by the real Bagger Vance of this film, and that was Los Angeles.
Wow, the star of the hit song I Love L.A.
I love L.A. Is it like that?
I think so. It's something like that. I love LA. There you go.
Now with LA out of the room.
Sure.
Adam, whoops do you ponder and think is the Beggar Vance of Holy Man Undercover?
Well, first of all, Steve, thank you so much for asking. I really appreciate that question, and I appreciate you trusting me enough to put that ball in my court and allow me to express my truth in terms of whom's the Beggar Vance of Holy Man Undercover was. And I have to say, in terms of the Beggar Vance of Holy Man Undercover, the obvious answer for me would be a little thing I like to call a cocaine. and just
oh, yeah.
What it did to just up the energy and just really get people moving when it came to being a holy man undercover. We never see David partake himself, but his uncle was surely into it, and that's why it's my Beggar Vance of Holy Man Undercover.
And he was the uncle.
He was the uncle. So technically, he was doing cocaine.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They love looking at cocaine. They get offered cocaine at every party. That's a great response.
Thank you. Thank you, and thank you. What a what a beautiful moment.
What a beautiful sentiment to kick off this anniversary episode. We are truly intertwined in our lives now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your Beggar Vance is my Beggar Vance. And even though we gave different answers, it's the same answer in our hearts.
But Hoops Beggar is the Beggar Vance is more of a feeling, and it's more of what's in the air, not a specific thing at any point. It vacillates. It's like a wave. It goes in and it never dies.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, much like the Black Eyed Peas said, the energy never dies. And, and I think they're absolutely right about that. Also, I'm a
That's
bee.
Where they got it from, yeah.
Of course, yeah. I'm gonna be rocking like this, you know?
I do know.
Isn't it weird to think that they were like the biggest group in the world at one time? Like, insanely popular. Good for the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, they were like the Beggar Vance of the music industry for a good stretch.
You beat me to it by about 4 seconds. Congratulations, man. You're absolutely right. The Black Eyed Peas are the Beggar Vance of the music industry. And it's official, it's on record, and it's irrefutable at this point.
Yeah, you know what else is official? We have signed up for Reddit, and we're going to be posting about Beggar Vance all the time. So if you see us in the wild, give us big ups.
Exactly. I mean, we haven't signed up. I'm not doing any of that. This is all Steve, but congratulations to you and best of luck with your Reddit journey. I hope you don't become an incel or worse, a femcel.
I hope so too, but it's always on the table with me.
Absolutely. And speaking of femcels, it's time to get to everyone's favorite segment of the week.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Now, Kevin, it's been a wonderful year, and I couldn't be more excited that your bowels are back on schedule.
Ooh.
Because this happened at 9:40 a.m. on February 9th, 2022. All right. So this is the tweet. I don't know whom he's talking about, but it was a fun one.
Probably Joe Rogan.
Yeah, probably Joe Rogan. I think he was talking about Joe Rogan, actually. Okay, so
I hope
Trudeau
actually
said, "I can understand frustrations with mandates, but mandates are the way to avoid further restrictions." Dot, 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 dot. Huh? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Well, this is not a political podcast, so I don't know who this Trudeau is, because I'm much like some people don't see race, I don't see politics. So I don't know who a politician is. I know that POTUS is the most embarrassing, awful, you know, shameful position to be in a country, but I'm not sure who this Trudeau is. And quite frankly, you know.
Well, I think as we discussed earlier, it's Joe Rogan he's talking about.
You're absolutely right.
And yeah, the other is just gobbledygook because we don't understand politics.
We don't understand politics. We don't support any political party or ideology. We think it's all, can I say bullshit? I guess I can say bullshit. It's our show.
Yeah, it's in the Bible, I think.
I think so. I think Jesus, when he's like flipping over the tables in the temple, he's like, this is all bullshit. All this money in politics, all bullshit. That's how Jesus talked. People don't know that.
He had a raspy voice, but he was kind to people with his words.
Exactly, yeah. Great, great pick for a tweet. Really, really love that you went full political on this one.
Yeah.
And put us in a very awkward position. So kudos on your 1 year anniversary tweet, Kev. You done good again.
Well, he made us do it with the time frame in which he posted it. I really needed to get it out there. He's been having a lot of nooners, and I think our audience was a little worried about him. So he forced our hand with this tweet, and he knows what he's doing.
Exactly. And when he appears on The Truth in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure he'll have lots of interesting things to say about that.
Oh, yeah, CTV Morning? Of course he's going to have a lot to say.
Of course, yeah, that's what he's all about. All right, segment done. Moving on from that tweet forever. Hey, it's time to Let's Go, Let's God, because we're talking about 2011's Kendrick Brothers classic, Courageous.
Hashtag never forget.
Exactly. Hey, 10 years on. 10 years on from there. 20 years on from there. Hey, this isn't a political podcast. You know what the first exciting thing about watching Courageous was?
I don't know.
Well, the fact that it was produced by TriStar Pictures, a real film company, like who've made real films that I've seen before.
Man, they might have even done Bagger Vance.
They might have, actually. I can't say one or the other because I've never seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had.
Well, if we ever do watch this movie, which we never will, we will hoop and holler if TriStar did this movie.
Of course. Throw it on the pile with Lawnmower Man because we're never watching it.
Can't wait.
But then, of course, TriStar Pictures, first one that comes up. Wow. A division of Sony Entertainment. Wow. And then after that, you get four nobody production companies. So great. Although the last one whose name I didn't write down looked familiar. The one whose logo is like a cross with like a half circle around it. That one looked familiar. I feel like we've seen other movies from them. Maybe Facing the Giants, actually.
Yeah, it's probably a Facing the Giants situations. I believe it was Sherwood Pictures. If anybody wants to look that up, get back at us.
Sherwood Pictures, hit us up. We'd love to be in a movie you produce. We're just shooting our shot everywhere now.
Well, we want to get together with Kendrick's brothers and see what happens. I think something will blossom out of that.
Absolutely. It's called The Secret, Steve. And the more you put it out there, the more it comes back to you. Maybe you've heard of this voodoo witchcraft called The Secret. It's a very successful book and DVD, and it's really changed my life.
So if I bury pine cones, I will get more pine cones.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah, that's kind of the premise of it. The more pine cones you bury, the more pine cones you're going to get.
Okay, so then I have a bunch of pine cones. What do I do with all the pine cones?
You put them in the ground, you plant them, and then you get more pine cones. See, it's called...
Yeah, but I already have enough.
Look, rise and grind, all right? It's called exponential growth, and if you want to make it in the pine cone industry, you got to start planting pine cones yesterday, because it's not tomorrow, somebody else could be planting them, and now you're 2 days behind them.
Okay, so now you're in yesterday, but fast forward 10 years where sure. I have a warehouse filled with pine cones. Like, I'm bursting at the seam with pine cones.
Of course, yeah.
What do I do with those pine cones?
So what you're going to do is you're going to take those pine cones and you're going to bury all of them in the ground. And then you're going to quadruple your output of pine cones. You see?
But I did that already.
Right, but you just keep doing it. You get your pine cones, you bury them. You get more pine cones. You take those pine cones, you bury them. And that's the secret.
But I don't want to bury all my pine cones. I like pine cones. What if I took five and glued them together and made something very artistic, like the Statue of David?
Well, I mean, I certainly know where you could put one pine cone on the Statue of David. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how it works. So you just keep burying pine cones until one day you die. And then that's the end of the secret. Yeah. But in the meantime, you've buried so many pine cones, you've forgotten where half of them are. And then there's pine cones everywhere. You're the Johnny Appleseed.
So now I have dementia?
Yeah, of course. Well, because now you're 85 years old and your brain is rotting away because of all the plastic in the oceans and the drugs in your brain. So, yeah, you forget where some of those pine cones are buried. But the good news is you've got warehouse after warehouse full of pine cones to be buried. What a delight.
Well, not to mention all I've thought about for 50 plus years has been pine cones. The brain just starts rotting at that point because it doesn't have enough variables to keep fresh.
Yeah, when you die and the doctors cut your head open to look at your brain, it's going to look like a pine cone. And they're going to go, oh, this must be Stevie Pinecone, the guy who ruined the ecosystem by filling up our forest with pine trees. We don't need that many pine trees. We need some oaks and elms, but nope, not for you. Pine till you die.
And I'll just end up being like a story for a new hospital drama, and that'll be the end of my life.
Exactly, yeah. Like a house-type doctor will cut your head open and go, oh my god, this guy's got a pine cone for a brain. And then he'll take a bunch of drugs to fix his crippled leg, and then now he's planting pine cones. It's an infection that spreads around.
Oh yeah, it's definitely an infection.
Mm-hmm. The beauty of planting so many pine trees is that when you die, there is gonna be the primest pine box to bury you in. You'll have the pick of the litter when it comes to pine trees to cut down and build your casket with. And what a pleasure for you.
Oh, so now the wood's involved.
Well, you know those five pine cones that you kept for yourself? Well, guess what, buddy? I snuck into your house in the middle of the night. I stole those pine cones. I buried them. Then I cut those five pine trees down and made you a pine box. That's my gift to you. Merry Christmas. Enjoy hell.
I just wanted five pine cones for myself.
Well, now you have a beautiful 15-foot by 12-foot pine box to bury yourself in.
I gotta say, when I wrote down my future when I was 5 years old, I didn't see this coming. But I'm glad it's here. I'm glad I'm going to get dementia. I'm glad I'm going to devote my life to pine cones.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And, you saw it first.
Well, sometimes the Lord speaks to you, and sometimes a angel that is horrific beyond description enters your room in the middle of the night to tell you to go steal your co-host pine cones because it's up to you to build him the casket he will one day be buried in. And, I just want to say thank you, God, for that.
Do you think God and Satan are one?
Wow. Well, I do think the Father, the Son, and the Mustard Man are one. I don't know where Satan himself fits into there, but I do know he's the sexiest of the angels, so he could fit it in wherever he wants, if you know what I'm saying.
He's probably the center. I mean, there has to be a center of the triangle.
Of course, yeah. When you throw your diamonds in the sky, you want to. The area you're looking through is Satan.
Yeah, I just feel that God is Satan, and he's been tricking us all.
Hey, you know what? I just feel like God is Satan. PureFlix, hit us up anytime for that sponsorship, and David Ayer White, hit us up anytime to cast us in your next movie. We want to get shot in Beckman 2, so help some brothers out and get us in Beckman 2.
Hey, at least we didn't dress up like Satan and act like Satan in our Holy Man undercover movies.
Exactly. In our premiere, in a movie that we directed and wrote, I think.
Oh, yeah, he wrote the crap out of that movie, probably with Reggie or something.
I don't know. Hey, speaking of Reggie, so last week we watched Holy Man Undercover, and you might have remembered that there was a lot of PureFlix heavy hitters in that movie, but one name was notably absent, and that is Reggie himself. But guess what? We decided to watch Courageous because guess who is like second build in this movie? Reggie himself, right after Alex Kendrick.
Right after he started losing his looks. Like, he's still kind of got it, but like, he's not super hot Reggie right now.
Oh, see, I disagree. I thought he was very hot in this movie. Like, I love a man in uniform, and Reggie is a man in uniform in this, so that's all I really needed.
I think he's close to his apex, but like, I swear he's had a kid by now and he's just like getting fatter and dying.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, considering that like the year this came out, like the same year this came out, Marriage Retreat came out.
Uh-huh.
And he looked hot as frick in Marriage Retreat in that one photo we saw of him at David Ayer White's actual wedding. So I think you're being, I think you're looking at them through 2022 glasses and not 2011 glasses, because, I mean, you're calling yourself a hypocrite, essentially, because you've described 2011 Reggie as very hot before. Now you're saying he's not hot? I don't get it, man. Pick your side.
He looks so attractive in that wedding photo, but I believe that that wedding photo was taken at least a year or two prior, because he's looking gaunt and coked up in this.
Well, I mean, spoiler. Well, no spoilers. We'll save the spoilers as we go here. But I think he's looking great. Hey, just real quick, while we're talking about, you know, whatever, while we're just talking, I want to give a quick update on our ending theme song, Hey Jesus, by the band Long Live Logos. We will no longer be using that song as our ending theme, because that song is 100% re-copywritten by a band called Sam the Hero. Guess what? The guy who got into a drunk car accident and cost a woman her arm, that guy's out of jail now, and he started a new band with his brothers called Sam the Hero, and God, they suck. But they own the rights to Hey Jesus, and so we got a big copyright strike on our YouTube page and can't use that song anymore. So sorry, everyone.
This is the first I'm hearing of this as well, and I am crushed.
You and me both. I was so confident last week that we were going to be able to use that song forever as our ending theme.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, boom, Sam the Hero, what the hell is this? And I look it up, and oh, this isn't good. The good news is the boys haven't gotten any better at writing music than they were 10, 12 years ago. So it's still bad music, but... yeah, we can't use it. So sorry.
Well, what if we scratch their backs?
I mean, I have a keyboard. What if I just re-recorded Hey Jesus? I could do that. That's not that hard.
Yeah, it's not really that hard. And could we... no, you got to keep Jesus in there, right?
Of course. I wouldn't... the only issue is that it's their recording of it, right? So if I make it my recording, then suddenly it's copyright free and we're in the clear.
I would like that, but I would like to get litigious in a couple of years.
Well, I've fallen in love with one of your little birds, so I guess we'll just have to see.
Well, how about at the end of this record, we try to sing it from memory, and we'll start with that.
Well, I think we'll nail the first line.
I don't know if I will.
What do you
hey,
mean?
Hey, Jesus?
Yeah, I've fallen in love with one of your little birds. Done.
Birds.
Birds. Hey... how does this movie start?
I don't know, with a big old car chase.
Oh, yeah. With,
kind of.
With a guy being a dumb idiot at the start of the movie. Like, there's a guy at the gas station, he fills up his truck, gets in, turns the truck on, and then oh, my windows are dirty. So then just gets out, leaves the truck running, leaves his door open, and goes, like, away to get a squeegee, and someone steals his truck. Like, no duh, man. What are you thinking?
Well, he... does look around. He seems ashamed of his decision, but makes it anyway, like a frickin' turd.
Yeah. It's a bizarre choice, especially considering after this car chase ends, we find out that he has an infant child in the back seat. It's like, man, you're just asking for trouble with what you're doing.
And not a dumb child. This is a child that's under, like... 2 years old. That's what you mean by infant, right?
Yeah, I mean like a child that still retains all of its knowledge from its previous life and that hasn't been like washed out of its brain yet by being, you know, they say that once a baby learns to talk, it forgets its past life, and babies are born with all the information in the universe in their heads and then they forget it as they go on. And so that's where this baby is. Right now, he could have told his, if he could have talked, that baby would have said, "Dad, shut the car off and shut your door. Don't just leave me hanging here."
And that's what made Jesus different, is that when he was able to talk, he didn't forget the past life.
No.
And he had all the knowledge in his head.
Yeah, and Jesus talked in rap, and that's a thing that they don't really talk about in the Bible too much, because rap technically hadn't been invented yet, but everything Jesus said rhymes and would sound great over a beat produced by Dr. Dre.
Well, he had a lot of sand in his mouth, so he wasn't able to talk in, like... full coherent paragraphs, and he had to make raps out of his words.
Mm-hmm. If you want to hear what Jesus really sounded like, just listen to some 50 Cent. And the way he talks with several bullet holes in his mouth is very much akin to how Jesus would rap with a mouthful of sand.
Sand was the original bullets.
Of course, yeah, he's into having sex. He's not into making love. That's a Jesus classic. Look it up in the Bible.
Is he on Cameo, 50 Cent? Could we get some sand in that guy's mouth or what?
I feel like 50 Cent is like a billionaire.
No. Oh, he lost it all on betting.
Oh, no. He bought a bunch of NFTs and they got stolen? Oh, no. He bought
of
a bunch
himself.
Of course, yeah. He bought a bunch of digital real estate and then was like, oh, crap. No one wants this garbage. The metaverse is a failure.
Yeah, he could have bought stuff on the moon.
But he didn't. Instead, he bought colored water, sold it in bottles for $2, then Coca-Cola came and bought it for billions.
Hey, that's nice. Yeah. That's good for him.
It is. He was the guy behind Smartwater. He owned, like, the company Smartwater, and then he sold it and made a boatload of money. So hats off to 50 Cent, a.k.a. Jesus Christ.
I'm glad nobody called it dumb water until after he sold the company. That would have been devastating.
What a relief, hey. I remember when that came out, I was, like, a teenager or something, and, like, being like, wow, this is impressive. Wow, water with stuff in it. Wow. And it's purple. Wow.
And it's water. Wow.
And it's going to make me smart. It's called smart water. And now look at me. Smart as a whip.
Oh, man. You couldn't even do this podcast without that initial water.
That would be, you know, that first bottle of smart water I drank is very much akin to the apple that Eve ate in the Garden of Eden, and just how it opened my eyes and I realized I was naked standing in the store and I felt shame for the first time.
Yeah, it's kind of like your Bagger Vance of your life.
Wow, when you put it like that, yeah, I would say smart water is the Bagger Vance of Adam's life.
Man, we should sell what the Bagger Vance is of each episode to a company. And, I mean, smart water, you're on deck.
Hey, you're on notice, smart water. You better reach out to us. We don't chase, we attract. So you better reach out to us.
If you want to be the Bagger Vance of this podcast, you got to pay up, baby.
Oh, yeah. You got to pay us a baby. That's what we're asking for.
In money. How much do you think a baby is worth? In money to us.
Well, I'll tell you what, over the course of a baby's life, when it becomes an adult, parents spend about $1 million. So we'll take a million.
We will. Yeah, we'll take $1 million, I guess.
Yeah. After the car chase ends and the truck crashes and the criminal gets away. Yeah, the criminal gets away.
Yep.
Cops show up, including very handsome Reggie. And it's Alex Kendrick, aka Coach Grant Taylor, and very handsome Reggie. And they have this nice conversation where Reggie looks at Grant Taylor and goes, would you have held on to the wheel? And Grant goes, I wouldn't have to. Jesus took the wheel a long time ago. And I really appreciated that.
That's really his excuse for everything at the beginning of this movie, is that, you know, Jesus is going to figure everything out for him. He doesn't have to put any effort in because Jesus has the wheel.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go to his daughter's piano recital. He doesn't have to dance with his daughter when she wants him to dance. He doesn't have to join his son for a 5K run. None of that stuff, because Jesus is going to do that for him.
5-mile run. And this kid be running a lot.
Now, you say a 5-mile run, but at the end of the movie when they're doing it, the banner says 5-kilometer run. So, because I had the same thing where I was like, they keep saying 5-mile run, but then they also say 5-kilometer run or 5K run. 5K isn't 5 miles. I was very confused.
This right here is a glimpse into American hubris. They just think miles are kilometers and kilometers are mile. They don't give a darn. They'll run whatever they want to run.
Yeah, they'll run until someone tells them to quit, and then they'll go, don't tell me to quit. I quit when I want. I'm a sovereign state. I don't have to listen to anyone else. If I want to keep running, I'm going to keep running. And then they do.
As long as there's a 5 and some kind of distance, they're running it.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Cops are all hanging out. Oh, cops are buddies, and that's what I love about this. Just great friendships amongst cops. We got Coach Taylor. We got Reggie. We got the guy whose truck got stolen at the start of the movie. Turns out he's new on the force. He starts on Monday. Ah, what a way to meet him, you know?
He's the best one.
He is the best one. And we also have a guy who I don't think you recognize, but I recognize. He is in a movie that we haven't watched yet. all about Columbine. And he plays a guy in the Columbine movie. And I was very excited to see him because he's great in the Columbine movie. He doesn't play Eric or Dylan. He plays like a homeless guy who the girl befriends. I Am Not Afraid. That's what the movie's called. Or I'm Not Ashamed or something like that. But
did you watch that movie? The whole movie?
Yeah, we were... Listeners, here's a little inside baseball for you. We were... When we first started this podcast a year ago, I was very excited about this movie called I'm Not Ashamed, which is all about Columbine, and I thought, this is going to be just exploitive, just awful. I can't believe this movie exists. And then I watched it and went, yeah, it's all those things. It's everything I thought it would be, but I didn't think that... Steve and I were like mature enough to talk about this Columbine movie in like a respectful enough way, because it is a real life tragedy. But so we haven't technically talked about that movie yet, but maybe one day we will.
Well, our final episode probably is a good place for it.
That's true. Yeah, it's based on a true story. It's about the girl, the first person who was killed in the Columbine shooting, and her godliness leading up to that moment. And
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Columbine happened. Look it up. But yeah. Anyway, one day we'll talk about it, but not today.
Not today, for sure. We'll never talk about it today.
That's true. Yeah. When the police are all at the precinct and they're hanging out and they say the sheriff is coming in, did you expect the sheriff to be David A.R. White? Because I definitely did.
Well, I think that might have been wishful thinking. I certainly didn't picture the guy that did walk in.
No.
Because he kind of looked like a Safeway bag man.
A Safeway bag man.
Yeah, you know the guy who's sitting there with the bags all the time?
Hey, you know what? Safeway. Safe my way.
That's come up on this podcast before, I believe.
You said it, yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what, man? Y'all need good dads, all right? Go home and love your families, says Sheriff not David A.R. White. And he's not wrong.
If you don't have a dad, you suck, is basically the email that he reads to everyone.
Mm-hmm. And is the message of this movie. Crime only exists because there are bad dads out there who don't raise their kids right. And if all dads were more responsible, crime wouldn't exist, is essentially what this movie is positing.
Well, they wanted to go with the title Bad Dad, and that just didn't play well. It was too many D's in a row.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. They tried the name Bad Grandpa, but that had already been registered by the Jackass people. And so they tried to go with, like, Dirty Poppy, but that didn't work either, so they settled on Courageous.
It was too Mexican.
Exactly, and Javier loved it, but nobody else really, shone to it.
Well, Javier is definitely the funniest man at the church.
What makes you say that?
He just gets it. He gets life. He's fun. He's funny. Everything about him oozes class and confidence.
Yeah, and he's getting freaking laid, bro. Like, that's what I love most about Javier, is he's got a wife who's just ready to rock at any moment. He comes home with any piece of good news, and she's throwing it at him. So, good on you, Javier.
Well, she's at home, and she has nothing to do but teach these dumb kids. And she gets horny really easily during the day when Javier's up there. Listen, just sweating.
Try not to think about a lady homeschooling her children and getting really horny while she does it. Just try not to think about that, okay? Just push that out of your mind. Forget we even said it.
Why? That's supernatural. Like, they're, doing their coloring or praying to Jesus and... Like, you're watching the Ellen Show with a bottle of wine and just getting so horny.
Please, bottle of tequila, please.
Right, yes, Mexican.
Cervezas, yeah, of course. She's cutting up limes and shoving them in every Corona in town. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and I don't like the implication, but I do think she's doing that.
Here's something that bugged me throughout this movie. The cops are always on their cell phones while they're driving. They're just driving around taking calls, and like their partners are like, hey, look over there. And they're like, oh, sorry, I'm driving and talking on a phone. Reckless, dangerous officers. You're supposed to uphold the law.
This is in Georgia in 2010. They thought that was really cool to talk on your phone, and how convenient it was to just get on your BlackBerry and spout off to your partner.
That's a very good point. Also, you bring up an interesting point. You say it's set in Georgia, but isn't Albany in New York?
Albany's like the Georgia of New York, I would say.
Well, here's the thing. The movie is set in Albany, New York, but I think it was filmed in Georgia. I think you're absolutely right about that. It looks like the same place that... And everyone's got southern accents. All the, like, extras are like, hey, y'all, just... hang out. Everything's going to be okay. You know, I don't think people from New York talk like that.
Well, nobody wants to admit that they're in Georgia. They want to pretend that they're in Albany, New York. And they just rolled with it.
Very good point. Yeah, well, you know, dress for the job you want. Pretend you live in the town you want to live in.
Write for the Albany you wish for.
Beautiful. I think that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
When,
well, Fisher Wisher.
Of course. When you look back in the sand, you saw there was no footprints, but instead just the words, write for the Albany you wish you lived in.
Again, sand everywhere in the Bible. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's, hey, write what you know. And they knew sand.
We should sell sand that Jesus' feet have touched.
Oh, like gamer girl bathwater, except it's Jesus sand.
Yeah, Jesus sand.
Damn, dude, and, that's actually kind of brilliant.
Yeah, we'll get a historian to sign something.
Damn, dude, I kind of think that's a brilliant idea. Sand touched by Jesus' feet? How could people say no? Sand just blows all over the place. They don't know that the sand we pick up off the beach in Haiti wasn't touched by Jesus and over in Jerusalem, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Exactly. And people travel all the time with sand on their feet. How do they know this wasn't in the proper sand location?
Wow. Man, that's a really good idea. Genuinely a really good idea that I think we should exploit.
Yeah, we... Well, let's not use the word exploit.
Very good point. Let's make the most of it.
What about if we put on the bottle 100% exploited?
100% this touched Jesus' feet at one time, we promise you.
Exploited.
And then there's like a winky emoji.
And I want a cool Jesus on the bottle. Yeah. I don't want like some like skinny doofus.
No, I want a black Jesus.
Yeah. Fully handed.
Oh, yeah, both hands, no holes in those palms, because this is pre, you know, palms. And, yeah. Hey, Jesus was murdered around Palm Sunday, right? That's interesting. Sunday, got nails in his palms.
Is that a thing? I think it's Psalm Sunday.
Ooh, I think those were initially just called the Palms, and then there was, like, a mistranslation years later to call them the Psalms.
Ah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, why have it start with a P, then?
Exactly, like, the P.
The Psalms.
Exactly, yeah. Man, we got so much movie to talk about here. Good lord. We can breeze over most of it.
We already talked about the main sticking points at the beginning.
Exactly. Jesus being a good dad and being courageous.
Yeah, and Alex Kendrick not being there for his children, not dancing with them, not at the recitals. I mean, what a... He's starting off just like he started off in the football movie. Which I'll never know the name of. And he's just a piece of crap. He's a great talker on the phone while he's driving guy.
Yep. Oh yeah.
But other than that, he's failed.
He loves his family, but he's not in love with his family, you know?
No. He's in love with his remote and his Budweiser and going to bed early.
And his water bottles filled with colored water. Smart water.
He really likes smart water during the film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He drinks a lot of it. And Coca-Cola. Hey, what the hell? Oh, my God. Our worlds are colliding here. This is bizarre. There's tons of Coca-Cola in this movie.
Oh, God, is there ever. And I want to slurp it up because it's in Georgia.
Of course, yeah. You know what else is in Georgia? Crime.
No.
All right.
Like, what sorts of crimes?
Well, I don't know. Crimes that would make two young black men run from the police.
5-0.
Oh, those aren't the guys we're looking for, but they're definitely up to something. all right, profiling officer, just calm down. You know, they're just sitting there. They're not even doing anything.
Well, he's telling the audience to keep your eyes on these fools.
Mm-hmm. But those guys are fine. Those guys leave and nothing becomes of them.
I think they might be chess champions.
Well, they're definitely up to something. They're definitely practicing their chess for something.
But we get a lot of action at the beginning of this movie. They're about to... there's a couple of guys that have warrants out for their arrests, and they're going to be knocking on doors and try to get at these fools.
Mm-hmm. But then they take off running, and we get the first big, well, the second big action sequence, which is a on-foot chase throughout the neighborhoods, cop cars racing around, Reggie's running, Alex Kendrick's, or Coach Grant Taylor's running, the new guy's running. It's great. There's so much running.
Well, the rookie cop is, you know, driving around like a doofus, doesn't know the names of the streets. Although the person who just moved to town and started their job knows all the streets and knows where to go.
But that's because he's from there. They make mention of that. He is from there. He moved away and he moved back to give his family a quiet place to grow up in.
That's still a lot of brain power, you know, and I don't think I fully dove in.
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's big brain, and he's one man. So, hey, what did you think of the slingshot move?
Well, you gotta end your big chase on a big move, and swinging a guy out of an open door into a full sprint, I think, is plausible.
It was like watching a Bollywood movie for a second. So they're chasing after they've already got one guy in custody, and they're chasing after the other guy in their car. And then, even though I'm making the running motion, they're driving. So picture my hands are driving here. And then Coach Grant Taylor's like, slingshot, and the new cop is like, okay. So he does like a a tail slide where he like whips the car and drifts it, and then the new cop opens his passenger door while they're drifting, and then just like runs out of the car somehow. I don't know, like, how did that work? I don't get it.
It's very convincing. It's shot very well. The cinematography and the stunt coordination are premier. You can see where TriStar really stepped in and helped them out, because this is some John Wick type stuff.
Oh yeah, this is some Beckman type stuff.
Oh yeah.
Do you think this movie inspired Beckman? Probably.
Yeah, it inspired a lot in the Christian community, especially when it comes to being a father
and respecting the police.
Yeah, this is what saved us last year.
Absolutely. Did you notice that Reggie is wearing a Hawaiian shirt when they're like in casual clothes? All I could think was like, don't they wear Hawaiian shirts on Malibu Dan as well? Like, is that just like, hey, if you're off shift, you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt, buddy. That's comfort.
Well, I think we're seeing a little bit of California in Reggie's life. You know, he probably got shipped to Georgia to do the stupid movie during the hot wetness, and he was, I'm gonna wear my gear.
Yeah,
from California.
They said, Reggie, quit getting your gear out on camera. And he was like, don't tell me what to do. I'm pulling my gear out right now.
This is my gear, baby. This is who I am.
Don't like it? Don't look.
So they have a whole, you know, argument about it. You know, Alex, his daughter Emily, and Hot Reggie are really giving the gears to each other.
Oh, yeah. But then Reggie has to leave for a second, and his daughter, not his daughter, but Coach Grant Taylor's daughter is like, dance with me, Dad. I love this song that's on the radio. Dance with me out in the grass in this parking lot. And he's like, we can't dance here. This is outdoors. I can't dance with my daughter. What will people think of me if they see me dancing with my daughter?
There's people around. I ain't dancing with my daughter. That's dumb. But you dance in front of me.
Yeah, it's so much worse what ends up happening. Like, if he would have just danced with his daughter, it would have been fine. But instead, she's like pretending to ballroom dance with him. So she just looks insane dancing like with nobody in front of the truck. It's like so sad. Like, man, just dance with your daughter. What if she was killed? Just dance with her.
He's missing out on life. And I know that they're trying to portray that. They're trying to really, you know, let this daughter down for future situations in this movie, but it's tough to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it really pulls you in.
But she does her dance. Reggie comes back and they take off again. We are introduced to Javier, who is a Latinx guy who I'm assuming he identifies as a male. I don't want to assume anyone's gender, but he is Latinx. And he's just having a heck of a time keeping a job, finding a job and keeping a job.
Oh, they definitely come from south of the border.
Their accents are very fake, I would have to wager. I don't think either of him or his wife talk like they talk in the movie.
I think the wife definitely does. Javier does not. He's a lawyer and the funniest man at the church, which I've previously,
of course,
made evident. But I don't think his kids know how to talk. I think they might be deaf.
Well, that's what you get when you homeschool. You get kids who don't know how to talk. So let that be a lesson, everyone.
Well, you want to have a good base, though. That's why they kept him at home, is to give him a really good childhood.
Well, that you've turned them into mutes, so congratulations. They know how to spell, but not how to say the words on the paper.
Do you think it's because they couldn't do a fake Mexican accent well enough?
I think so.
So they're like, ah, just cut their lines.
Yeah,
cut their lines.
Yeah, they had like whole monologues about how great of a dad they had, and then, nah, cut that out. Just whatever, get rid of it. We don't need it. The people will figure out that he's a great dad, and he is a great dad. He's trying so hard to provide.
Yeah, he goes to the same workplace twice and gets fired from that place twice.
Mm-hmm.
And but he just loves going to work and working so hard that it feels like mush at the end of the day. And if he doesn't have that, he's a failure as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Luckily for him, on his walk home, there's this weird case of mistaken identity where, like, Coach Grant Taylor's building a shed, and Reggie was like, hey, I got a friend named Javier who can help you build that shed. And he's like, okay, send him over. I'll pay him $150 a day. And then Javier's, like, walking down a back alley, like, crying because God has betrayed him. And Coach Grant Taylor's like, Javier, you're late for work. He's like,
oh, Mexican in the alley, Javier?
Like, Javier just being like, well, this man knew my name. I guess I'll build him a shed. I guess that's fine. No questions asked.
I mean, he is offering $150 a day.
I'll take it.
And this guy needs money for rent.
Yeah, I don't blame him. And it's the start of a beautiful friendship between Javier and Coach Grant Taylor. And they hit it off. They become best buddies. And they change each other's lives. And the whole time, Javier's getting frickin' laid. So good for him.
There's a lot of storylines. And Javier is always a breath of fresh air. Whenever he comes on camera, he oozes confidence and beauty.
Mm-hmm. I will say, once Grant Taylor figures out that Javier isn't the Javier he thought he was, when he like goes to talk to him about it, the full name bit that they do where he's like, Javier, what's your full name? And he's like, Javier Escuela or whatever he says. And he goes, what's your full name? Oh, I'm Coach Grant Taylor. Do you know Reggie? And he's like, no, what's his full name? That whole bit was pretty funny. I was enjoying that. That was some classic Abbott and Costello, goof 'em ups.
Well, they got to have one back and forth that's just bitey and rich with humor. And this was their shot at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a you looking at me, looking at you type situation. And it's their back and forth is perfect.
I mean, not only is it a you looking at me, looking at you situation, but it's a, are you talking about the Gatlin Brother boys?
Yeah.
It's that exact scene just played out in a slightly different way. That didn't click until just now. Brilliant writing, Kendrick. I love it.
Yeah, he loves to have like little meatballs on spaghetti on a first date in his movies, where he gets the point across. He really gets humor.
Oh yeah, and he gets how to cry, and that's really important, because in the next scene, Coach Grant Taylor's daughter Emily gets freaking killed in a car accident. Whoops! Should have danced with her, Bozo. Oh well.
I shouldn't laugh, because I honestly was pulled in by this moment, and these Christian movies are killing off kids left, right, and center to
everyone's
pull the
expendable
audience in. It works every time.
Yeah. I would love to see a movie called, like, The Expendables or something like that, with all the dead kids from Christian movies, all stuck in purgatory and just, like, living their lives out there.
You couldn't fit them in frame. There's probably, like, a billion kids, fake kids, that have died in Christian comedies.
Oh, you think this is a comedy?
Yeah, this is a laugh-em-up.
It's a dark, dark comedy.
Well, a kid did just die. The funeral's pretty funny.
Yep.
The scenes with them at home, stuck with their grief, pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It's funny when they're lowering the casket into the ground and, like, when it, like, hits the bottom of the hole that she's going to be buried in, you get, like, a boing-oing-oing-oing sound, and it's just nothing but laughs, a mile a minute.
Yeah, but you really feel for the parents that have just lost their child. Other than the humor, you're steep in their grief.
You know, I gotta say, it's as funny as the time in WWE when Triple H interrupted Big Show's dad's funeral and stole his casket, and the Big Show jumped on the casket and was getting dragged through the graveyard with it. Just the height of comedy, and this movie aspires to those heights as well.
The only difference between tragedy and comedy is the inflections in the voice. It's the same things that are happening.
Yeah.
But you have the right taste on your words, and you can make anything funny.
Crying or laughing, it all looks the same. Hey, here's a fun game for you. Next time you're out driving, if you see someone in their car yawning, just pretend in your mind that they're screaming.
And you see a lot of yawning when people are driving. People are tired out there, man.
Yeah, of course. They're on their cell phones. They're multitasking. They're driving. They're talking. They're yawning. There's a lot of stuff going on in the average car.
Yeah, and that definitely wasn't the cause of this death.
No, this death was caused by drunk driving.
Ugh.
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 Ugh. Coach Taylor, your family is in ruins. Emily's dead. His wife is crumpled. His son is crumpled. But I will say, in the scene where he's playing video games, it actually looks like he's playing video games. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool. And I think he does look wrecked. The family itself is having real conversations about the dead daughter.
Yeah. A lot of crying.
He just wants the video game.
Of course. He just wants to slay some noobs, you know? Get out there and call some kids the N-word in Call of Duty. Just get back to normal is what I'm saying.
That would have been really funny if he would have, you know,
if Coach
Taylor would have shut the door and then he would have yelled.
Yeah, if he was just like, I f***ed your mom, and he's like, oh, my son, please don't say things like that.
I'll allow you to do it this one time, but damn, believe in God.
Express your grief however you need to. Take all the time you need to express your grief, but please stop telling people you f***ed their moms, please.
Unless you're actually f***ing their mom, do not say that.
If there's one thing that Jesus does not stand for, it's liars. And if you tell someone you fucked their mom and you didn't fuck their mom, then that makes you a liar, son. And I cannot have that under my roof.
And if you're a liar, I'm a liar.
Yeah, and I fucked your mom. So what do you think about that?
That's a great response if he opens the door and says, I fucked your mom.
Yeah, his son's in there spouting off, and you just hear the 10-year-old kid on the other side of the mic just hears the door kick open, and Coach Grant Taylor himself going, well, guess what, son? I fucked your mom.
And I'm not done either.
I fucked her twice, and I'll fuck her one more time. We got to get another baby in this house.
I did feel like they were going to end this film off with them being pregnant.
I was fully expecting this movie to end with his wife being like, Officer Grant Taylor, you just made the team. The daddy team. Oh, Sheriff, I'm overwhelmed.
The Lord has given me a new baby.
Oh, God, you've given me a new baby.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. Fun.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the movie. He calls his son Buddy a lot, which I'm not a big fan of. Your son's like 15. He probably doesn't want to be called Buddy.
And stop pushing him when you say it. Like, it's yeah. It's too much.
Stop putting your hand in, like, stop making a finger gun with your fingers and pushing it against your son's temple when you call him Buddy. It's really aggressive, man. Unnecessarily.
But it does speak to his mental fracture as a cop, like the what he sees and what how he interacts with society, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't get normal interactions anymore.
No, most of the scene transitions after this point are him sitting on his bed with a finger gun in his mouth, just screaming, and then we just fade into the next scene. You go, that guy's in kind of rough shape, huh? But I'm sure he'll bounce back.
Yeah, and his fingers don't even have bullets. It's dumb.
No.
Did you know that this film is PG-13?
Yeah, it's filled with violence and people telling other people they fucked their moms. So yeah, of course it's PG-13.
Yeah, but he did fuck his mom, so that was cool.
Yeah, you don't get the PG-13. Saying he fucked his mom is not why they got the PG-13. They got it because the son is lying, and lying yeah. gets you a major strike with the whoever rates movies, the MPAA or whatever.
Yeah, and they already did their strikes.
Yeah, of course. They went, oh, this scene's full of lies, except for when Coach Grant Taylor says he fucked his son's mom, because of course he did. Twice. Yeah,
you got one back for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was rated R, and then they walked it back. Rated R for all the lies. They walked it back. PG-13. We can live with that.
And at this point, we get a time jump.
Yeah. 15 years go by.
That would have made sense.
That would have been wild if the time at the bottom, it just said, like, 2025. Wait, what?
Everybody has gray in their hair, even the little kid, the little boy.
Yeah, yeah. He's so... They didn't recast anyone. They just put old age makeup on that 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And rotten makeup on the dead daughter.
Now he's 30.
Exactly. And the daughter's mostly a skeleton.
Well, you don't bury a child. That's crazy.
No, of course not. You what do you do with them?
I think overalls is the key.
It keeps them together, yeah.
Oh, it's overall.
Hey, how do you like my overall look?
That's a fun one. That's a good dad joke.
It is a good one, yeah. 6 weeks go by. Let's be real here. 6 weeks yeah. go by, and Coach Taylor is just, he's just really chewing the fat of what being a holy dad is all about. He's like, what am I going to do to make my life more holy, make me a better dad for my son? Oh, I'll write a resolution promising to be a better dad, and I'll get all my buddies to sign it as well.
Well, he reads the Bible, thank God.
Of course.
And he finds out, he discovers through the Bible that he's been doing maybe half of what he should be doing as a father. Maybe half.
Yeah. For one thing, he's not resting on Sundays. He's fighting crime on Sundays. First, big mistake. Big mistake.
You need a day off as a father, as God was a father to the world.
Exactly. And you know what God our Father did? He murdered the whole world at one point just because he was, like, tired of it and just like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Everyone sucks. So I'm just going to roast them all. Drown them all.
Which is how he gets his boy on board with becoming Christian.
Yeah.
Or becoming a real Christian as he threatens death.
Yeah, he says, do you want to be a Christian or do you want me to murder you the way God our Father murdered everyone on this planet Earth? Do you want me to drown you in a bathtub? And he went, I mean, I guess I'll just love God then. When you put it that way, I guess I have to love God. Thanks, Dad. Good job.
Can I still run?
Can you stop calling me Buddy?
Could you stop telling me you're having sex with Mom?
Hey, Steve, I got a question for you. And it's a really important question. And if this... Here we go. I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
When did you think you were a man?
Oh, man, this is tough. Actually, what I really wish I would have said right back to you is, what?
Oh, man, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's really tough. It was probably the day the music died.
1956, the death of Big Bopper and Richie Valens and that other guy.
Plane crash.
plane crashed, the day the music died, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the
day... I was about eight. I heard about it on the radio, and from there, I got really horny.
You were
and,
a man.
Yeah, testosterone's a hell of a drug. Did you become a man from?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to give the answer that I was fully expecting someone to give at the table when Coach Grant Taylor asked that question.
Yeah.
The first time I ate puss would definitely be the moment when I knew that I was a man. Literally, I thought for sure Reggie was going to answer that. That he was going to go like, the first time I slayed some tang. Nope, sorry, no such luck.
Now, did you eat puss on your first vaginal experience? Like, enter.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, pretty sure. It's called foreplay. Maybe you've heard of it. It's in the Bible.
Nah, I don't do that.
All right, well, there you go. Well, yeah, we've already established that you don't do that.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
we find out that all the cops are dads. All the cops are dads.
And this is where we find out all the cops are dads. Well, do we know that the rookie's dead yet, or is that a later scene? It all runs.
It's like two scenes later. Like, it's not that far after this scene. But he is a dad. He abandoned his daughter, and she's four, but she only lives 30 minutes away, and he's like, nah, I don't care. Obviously, new cop is a dad. Obviously, Coach Grant Taylor.
Reggie, dad, divorce.
Yes, and I was like, oh no, when we see... So basically, they have this big ceremony to sign these resolutions. Reggie, Coach Grant Taylor, new cop, Columbine cop, and Javier. They have this big ceremony, they get all dressed up, the families are there. And when I saw Reggie and his son, I got so sad. I was like, oh no, did his wife die? No, of course not. Stupid me. She's still alive, and of course, she's smoking hot. So good for him. Reggie's got a type, and I love it.
And I believe Columbine Cop takes the oath before he reaches out to his abandoned child.
But taking the oath is what spurs him to reach out to her. The seed is already planted by his new partner, I'm talking about fucking moms.
This is our anniversary. We can be as explicit as we want to
be. We're wild. I'll censor it all. I don't even worry about it.
I don't think we should. I think that's the wilder choice.
What a twist that would be. This is the only episode with an explicit rating.
Plus.
Oh, yeah. This is rated R for all the lies we tell in it. Like, for instance, our names are Adam and Steve.
PG-13.
Well, now it is, yeah. So, yeah, all dads are good holy dads now. Good stuff. He's holding up a fork. I appreciate that. I see you.
Because I eat this message.
Oh, nice. Because I eat this puss, he says, holding up a fork, sticking his tongue between the blades. Mm-hmm.
Did you think that the ceremony they have to declare themselves as fathers was going to be bigger and badder?
Yeah, it really, like, I guess every ceremony is just made up by people, so... This one's no different or better or worse. It's just a bunch of guys promising to be good dads, I guess.
Well, in essence, they're really getting married to God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, and there's a lot of people getting married to the wrong people in this movie.
Well, except for Javier.
Oh, Javier is married to the... I love that your version of him is a little bit French. I think that's very nice. Javier.
Javier!
I like when Javier gets his new suit and his wife, the kids run in and they see him in his suit and they go, oh, dad! Well, they go, ah, Poppy! And he goes, his wife goes, this is daddy's new suit. Doesn't he look good in it? He'll wear it when we bury him. And I thought that was very nice to know that, hey, he's got his funeral suit all sorted out.
And a threat, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, now that you've got this suit, the clock is ticking to your funeral, buddy. One day we're going to bury you in this suit, so get ready.
I think when he tried on the suit, they should have cut away, and then when he's in the suit, he should have been replaced by a different actor, like Dean Cain or something.
Mm.
And then he takes off the suit, and then he's back to Javier.
Back to Javier, again. Yeah. That's a good point, and it's fun to play with reality like that.
Well, it's hard to get a good Dean Cain lookalike to be in this movie.
Well, yeah. Hey, here, guess what? You know what the point of this whole friggin' resolution that they sign is? That if you're going to live for the Lord and be a good dad, you need to be courageous to do it. You need to be courageous to live out this resolution. Even right now, it's easy. There's no adversity against you. You're not in any kind of pickles. You can just do whatever you want at this point. But when trouble comes a-knocking, you better be courageous.
So that was the point?
Yeah. Did you think it was called courageous because it was about a bunch of dickhead cops? No. We don't respect the cops around here.
I thought, you know, these are a couple of dickhead cops, and it takes them courage to take down drug people.
Yeah, it takes them courage to crack down on low-income people who are just trying to eke out a living in society in a system that's stacked against them, and they have nowhere else to turn but to slang drugs. It's courageous to taser them in the back of the head.
Oh, I wish there was a couple more tasers in this movie. And drugs are great. Like cocaine.
Yeah.
Like that makes you feel like up and proud. And you can really praise God when you're on cocaine.
Bro, you could praise God without ceasing for like 48 hours straight. Isn't that what God wants? More praise? Let the people do coke, you cowardly police.
Okay, so 48 coke prayer is definitely a new festival that we need to put on.
Okay.
40. Everybody has to do cocaine, and everybody has to pray to the Lord for 48 hours.
Gosh, it's going to be hard to enforce that. They'll have to pray out loud so we can hear their words and know what they're saying.
Well, we'll have whips, and we'll be on caffeine. We'll be drinking coffee, and we'll have shifts. Mm-hmm. And the whippers will definitely have shifts and sleeps.
Good call. I thought you were going to say we'll have whips and we'll be on horses, and I was very excited about that prospect. Whipping people from a horse, that's pretty cool.
Hey, I'll take it, baby. Let's get horses.
Hey, that sounds great. That's combining all our favorite things. Cowgirl Summer Season 2. Look for it this summer.
Whips.
Javier has a job at a textiles factory, and his boss calls him into the office and goes, Javier, I want to make you a manager, but I need you to do something first. There's going to be a shipment of 17 crates of textiles coming in. I want you to write down that there's only 16 coming in, because I got secret plans for that one box of textiles. Can you do that for me? And Javier's like, I need to think about it. I don't think so. He needs to be courageous.
He's finally in a good place in his life. He's got a steady full-time job with probably crappy benefits, but benefits nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't give that up. He's got to support his family. And this will mean even more money, even gobs of money.
Oh,
they
could
go on vacation to, Mount Olympus.
But all he has to do is lie about some shipments coming in and allow the boss to steal them. And if he can do that, then he can have the job. So I have these notes written down. The bounty hunter Bosk asks Javier to lie about a crate of goods coming in next week in order to prove his loyalty. Time to be courageous, Javier. Also, someone's been skimming drugs from bus. Coach Grant Taylor's on the case. Are you sure you want to go down this road? Time to be courageous, Coach Grant Taylor.
Yeah, they're in a pickle. They're deeply pickled human beings, and they have to make the right choice. But the only way they can do that is by being good fathers.
Yeah, being courageous and being good fajas. I have, from the moment they signed the resolution, almost every one of my notes after that point has the word courageous in it somewhere. I have courageous written so many times in the back half of my notes here.
See, I front-loaded my courageous.
Oh.
Because I was filled with a lot of courage at the beginning of this movie. And then the death of Emily really took all the courage out of my sails, you know?
You became a full coward after that, yeah.
Yeah, I crumpled.
Exactly. So Javier goes into the office the next day and he tells his boss, I appreciate the offer. I am grateful for this job, but I will not lie about it, and I will not lie about textiles. And his boss goes, let me shake your hand. You passed the test, buddy. You're the new manager. You're the new manager, Javier. And he's crumpled by that.
Yeah, he was the last man on their list, apparently. Yeah. this was the last person that they could turn into a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And all the previous men failed.
But the other guy in the office also says, like, after six people, I was ready to give up. It's like, you had a list of seven people you were going to call on? That's the only people in this factory that you thought were managerial material? All right, fine.
And they all picked to do illegal things for the company. So pick that guy.
Yeah, pick the guy who's willing to take a bullet for this company, not the guy who was willing to take a bullet for God. No one's going to ever put him in that position.
This is a dog-eat-dog world. This guy homeschools his kid. He's a freaking dweeb.
Yeah, this guy's name is Doggy Dog.
But I am happy for him that, you know, he gets to be the manager now.
Yeah, I agree. It's good. His wife is very happy. She's gonna just frick him when he gets home. Super. She's been just sitting there teaching kids, getting horny all day, waiting for that phone call. And, yeah.
Watching Ellen. Don't forget about that.
Of course. Drinking a cerveza and just loving life. Just waiting for her husband to get home.
You know what's really good?
Mm.
Tequila.
Oh, tequila. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it is, sure. Is it? I've never really had it.
You've never even had it? What about in a cocktail form?
I don't know what that is. I'm not going to put anything in my mouth that has the word cock in the title. I'll tell you that much.
Why?
Because I'm a straight male, Christian as frick. I'm like David A.R. White. I won't even hug a man. So I'm certainly not going to put anything... I'm not going to eat a cocktail weenie. I'm not going to eat... someone's severed cock. I'm not gonna do it, so stop trying to put cock in my mouth, man.
But you will put a woman's vagina in your mouth.
Yeah, it's not called a woman's cock, so yeah, put it right in my mouth.
The nibbly bit at the top's basically a penis.
Well, when you put it like that, you better call my wife and tell her that puss is off the menu.
Well, we support people with all stars and stripes.
All stars and stripes.
If you believe that the nubbin at the top of a woman's pussy is a dick,
right into
email us at pureboyspod at gmail.com and at pureboyspod on Twitter.
Make sure if you ask us on Twitter if we think that the nibbly bit at the top of a puss is a cock, make sure to tag at PureFlix and at David A.R. White, as well as at PureBoysPodcast, so that the whole crew gets in on it.
We need jobs at these companies, and you're the key.
I'm telling you, man, this next year of the podcast, we are going to make inroads with PureFlix. We are going to speak to people at PureFlix, speak to David A.R. White. We're shooting our shot all over their faces, and we are going to get in with that crew and become a part of their company. At least get the steps started to get us there. I mean, I get fully there, but we're going to start moving in that direction.
We're good with our tongues, and that's how we're going to get our foot in the door.
Amen to that, brother. You know what I love about all these Christian movies? That after watching Christian movies for a year, most of a year, I've realized that, like, all of these movies exist in a universe where if you follow God, you're a good person. And if you don't follow God, you're a lawless piece of shit. And there's no in between. There's nothing, like, if you don't follow God, you're a piece of shit who's just waiting, biding your time until you do follow God. It's like... there's no nuance to it. You're either you love God and you're good, or you don't love God and you're garbage. And that's it. And I love that kind of black and white dichotomy.
And every single need or want or information that you could ever want to consume is in the Bible. The blueprint is already there.
Yeah.
You just have to follow it. I think to really round out this movie, they should have brought Emily back to life.
Or had her, like, appear to Coach Grant Taylor in a dream or something like that.
Yeah.
What if...
maybe, but...
what if she appeared to Grant Taylor in a dream and said, your wife, a.k.a. my mom, is pregnant by the Lord, and she will bear the
and it's me!
It's me! I'm back! I'm the Messiah! Emily! What a trip.
I'll see you in a few months.
I'm not going to remember you, though. I'm not going to be able to talk, and I'm going to forget all the knowledge that I have now as a... baby angel.
Make me remember.
Write this all down.
Yeah.
Coach Grant Taylor, of course, needs to look into who is skimming drugs from these drug busts.
Hoomst
is the skimmer of drugs, absolutely. And in the most heartbreaking scene in maybe any piece of Christian cinema I've ever witnessed, it's Reggie.
Oh my God, it's almost hot Reggie. It's on the decline, Reggie. And you're just crumpled as Pureflix enjoyer.
I'm so sad. He's too beautiful for jail. They're going to eat him alive in there. Not to mention that he's a cop and he's courageous.
It's like the Kendrick brothers wanted to eat Pureflix and crap out poop.
Oh, I get what you mean. Yeah, they refused to cast David A.R. White in things. They cast his buddy Reggie, turn him into a drug dealer. Yeah, for sure. Since we at Pure Boys are super into Vore, we're really into that idea of the Kendrick brothers eating Pureflix and having Pureflix in their belly. That's very sexual for us.
Yeah.
baby. Hey, here's a really creepy scene. What do you think about the scene where the one cop gives his daughter like a chastity ring and is like, one day I'll pick out a good man for you? And she goes, thank you so much, Dad. I'm married to you and you can dictate the rest of my life. Thank you, Dad. This is the greatest gift ever.
I thought, honestly, that the vibe was off during this scene. I think if I'm looking at this whole film and trying to cut out a few minutes to save my producers a bit of cachet,
of course,
I'm taking this scene out and maybe just like have them go to a skating rink and skate for a bit, and then like the girl falls down and sprains their ankle and then
dies.
Like, the father picks her up and says, I'll always be your father.
Oh,
don't forget about God.
Right.
You have bad taste in men.
Right. Please don't die like Coach Grant Taylor's daughter. All that stuff.
That's all you needed. You didn't need to take her out to a very fancy meal and like give her a wedding ring and say that you want her to act like a woman from now on. The whole thing was a bit off. I don't know why.
She's 15. I think that's why it's so weird. Plus, he says, this ring is going to stay on your finger until another man takes it off your finger and puts a real thing on your finger.
And that man better love God more than anything.
Yeah, when you're given your first awkward high school hand job, you look down at that promise ring that I gave you and know that this man that you're jaying off at a party is going to be your husband one day because your father approves.
And you're in high school, so you got to make small talk when somebody's jaying you off. So you probably say something like, hey, that's a nice ring. Would you like me to buy you something similar? And she says, nah, it's from my dad. I love it.
He goes, could you turn it the other way? Right? You're wearing it backwards, so like the diamonds on the ring are kind of cutting into my shaft. Can you turn it around so just the smooth metal is on your finger? And she goes, no, I like to turn it around so it looks like a wedding band and not just like a silly heart. You know, I like to pretend I'm married to my dad.
Or she says, what other way? And she grips tighter and you immediately erm.
And he goes, talk about a cheese grater hand job, you know? Who hasn't gotten one of those before?
But you're young. You've probably tried it yourself. You put on your mother's rings and jerked off, so...
Yeah, I don't like to use lube. I like to put a bunch of rings on my finger to get that extra grip, you know? I like to really hold on for dear life.
Yeah. Well, high school is the time for experimentation. So you try whatever you want.
Yeah, you just go for it. Just, you know, go buck wild, whatever.
Yeah, you bend your wiener, it's going to go back straight.
Yeah.
Hey, you got about 10 more lives of wiener going back.
In your childhood home, in the home that you grew up in the home that you were in high school in, did you bust in every room in that home?
I tried and I succeed. No, no.
No? Which rooms didn't you bust in?
I don't think I busted in the hair shop.
Your family just had a room full of wigs?
Yeah, that was the hair shop.
That's the best room to bust in. Feels like you got an audience.
It's too much cleanup.
Oh, that's
and
fair.
I'm lazy, you know? Like, if I spritz too hard, it's too much cleanup.
What do you have? Is that a cigarette?
No, it's a J.
Oh, a marijuana cigarette. Okay. Hey, speaking of drugs, it's time for the final action scene of the movie. The guy who stole the truck at the start of the movie is a gangsta, and he's moving 2 kilos of coke, and the cops pull him over, and it goes nuts. And there's shotguns being shot and guns being shot, and it's just wild. What did you think of that final action scene?
I knew it was coming, but it was still fresh, which is the sign of good art. I was steeped in it. I couldn't believe that there were shotguns at play. But if you're a police officer, have more bullets on you.
Yeah, you know? And also, don't the police usually have shotguns too? Like, it just seems like they were completely unprepared for a gunfight. But it's like, you're courageous cops. You should always be prepared for a gunfight.
Well, and they should have their tasers up at all times. In fact, once you pull somebody over, you should just taser them right away so they're, you know, compliant.
Well, exactly. Or, you know, if you want to skip the paperwork, just shoot them like 5 times in the head or something. That's fine too.
Do any of the cops get shot at all? Or is it just like the bad guys that just get shot up?
I think it's just the bad guys who get like shot in the arm and stuff like that. Yeah. So pretty unrealistic.
Still really good at running.
Great at running. Well, they didn't get shot in the legs.
No. You're right. They only got shot in the arms. Yeah. Perfect time for running.
Exactly. So they chase after these bad guys. Coach Grant Taylor gets his butt whooped by a guy. Like, he's just feeding Grant Taylor shots in the face at the end of the movie. Like, hits him like that. He hits him like 10 times that we see on camera. So who knows how many times he punched him in the face outside of that. But, oh, it's a whooping.
But that's what he brings to the table. He's got a very punchable face, and that's really what saved the day.
Exactly, yeah. And so those guys get arrested. All's well that ends well. And then we get the final scene, which takes place in a mega church, where the boys who love the Lord are there talking about how much they love the Lord and how much we need to be better dads to our kids.
Javier really shines in this scene. I think him holding a Bible is a good look.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and he's wearing his funeral suit, so, you know he's rocking it. Did you...
Which is still too big for him. He is an illegal, so he can't have a fitted suit.
Right, he's standing on the cuffs of his pants. It's very embarrassing. Yeah, it's not a good look. I did that like that the
wife is still horny as hell.
Oh, she's in the crowd just putting her finger in a hole in her hand, you know, just making a sexy hand for him, and he's like, oh, honey, please, I'm up here.
Oh, sexy head.
I'm going to nut in front of the congregation. Did you see when Coach Grant Taylor's giving a speech and you see all the men being inspired in the church, did you see that one of the men in the church was the rival coach from Facing the Giants?
No, I didn't.
The guy who
was he looking good?
Yeah, he was looking great. He no lollipop in his mouth or anything, but he was there. And I went, you know, shoutouts to that guy, and shoutouts to this universe that the Kendrick brothers have built. It maybe isn't as strong as the PureFlix universe, but it certainly is adjacent to it. So good for them.
My only question is, as a sleuth,
sure,
how did you know it was him without the lollipop in his mouth?
Ooh, well, because I closed my eyes and I pictured all kinds of things going into that guy's mouth, and when I got to lollipop, I went, wait a minute, that's the guy from Facing the Giants, the guy who goes, call a timeout anyway. Let's let them sweat for no reason. When you have the game won and you should have just gone for the play and won the game. Instead, you make a bad call and blow it for your team, you idiot.
Yeah, he blew it. You could see this shame on his face even today.
I like to imagine it's the same character, and he's just sitting in the crowd going, Officer Coach Grant Taylor, you've changed my life.
You've given me a truck, and that truck is God. What do you think of this movie, and what do you think of this year of podcasting?
Honestly, I kind of like this movie. Like, watching it, I went like, we've watched way worse movies than this. This movie was, like, competently made and looked like a real movie. If I saw this movie in the theaters, I wouldn't feel like I had been tricked into seeing a movie with a $10,000 budget. There was real money on the screen there. Squibs and a gunfight and all kinds of stuff. It wasn't terrible. It was, like, kind of a decent movie. It was, like, a C+.
Steve, yeah, above average, for sure.
Steve, what did you think of Courageous?
Well, I think the lesson that they learned after making Facing the Giants is, hey, let's put more money into this and get a competent director and editor.
Alex Kendrick, yeah.
Cinematographer
Alex
was
Kendrick.
Top-notch.
Yep, of course.
I... I feel like they could have tightened the script a little bit. I feel like after Emily's death, there should have maybe been a couple more child deaths to bring you back in.
Yeah.
But maybe a couple more of the fathers had to deal with death instead of just one.
For sure. That's my biggest complaint, is that only Coach Grant Taylor loses a child. I mean, he's got an extra one to spare, so it's not that big of a deal. But, like, imagine if Reggie's child had died. Then he's got no children left. Or, you know, Columbine Cop. Imagine if his child had died and he neglected her and didn't care about her. You know, it could have been a lot better. But I agree. Another pass of the script. It's a little indulgent. It's over 2 hours long, which is like, gosh, God bless this movie, is what I kept saying.
Yeah, God bless this movie. Never change. Add more scenes, but string them together better.
Hey, are you talking about the 2021 10th anniversary re-release of Courageous that they put out that has like 20 minutes of extra footage? Like, what did they cut out of this? I feel like everything was there.
I don't know, but we got to get our hands on this movie, and we will never review it.
No, God, no. I mean, I tried to buy the DVD of it, like the 20th or the 10th anniversary of it, and I went, nah, I don't want to do that. So we just changed our mind instead.
We're cool.
Yeah, we're pretty cool. Steve, what are your thoughts on year one of the Pure Boys podcast?
Well, I look back on my life and think about a time when I wasn't doing this podcast, and it's so empty and bleak and dumb, and I just want to tell that person that I was to shut up. You've changed my life. You forced me to do this podcast at gunpoint, and I thank every day that you did so, and I love you.
Well, I love you too.
Thank you for that. What did you think of a year of podcasting with myself?
I've been podcasting for a long time. I've had many shows, and some of them I'm proud of, some of them I'm less proud of. This show, I'm very proud of. I think that we're doing good things, and we're certainly doing holy things, and it has been nothing but a pleasure working with you and getting to know you more. We've known each other for years, but I feel like we've really connected in this. We've never told each other we love each other as much as we have on this show, and with that being said, I love you.
I love you. I have a question for you, and I think we should pose this every anniversary.
Okay.
Do you believe in God?
Oh, fuck no.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Say what?